Welcome, Anime Lately podcast listeners and YouTube podcast watchers to another episode of the Anime Lately podcast. I'm your host, Sam the Manga Man, and here with me are my co-hosts, the Game Master, Ray Apollo, aka the director of anime, the one and only legend, D. Vash, Miguel Parra, and the talented JB James Barnes. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Lovely to be here, as always, here on the weekly episodes that we do always. I'm so enjoy doing this with you guys as always.
James?
I had a long day at work and I'm so happy that I'm actually talking about anime with you guys. I just can't wait to get started.
And Ray?
I watched anime all afternoon.
Nice.
And can we take a second to you wish a man in this room a very happy birthday?
Oh, guys, you should have drinker.
It's the legend himself. It's his birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
He's here with us on his birthday. That's so sweet.
Yes, right? Thank you very much.
We told him not to.
My balloons are right there.
We said, don't do this on your birthday, dummy. Have your own birthday. He said, no, I got to do it for you. So be thankful.
We just
for got the it. Fans, the listeners. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 23, guys. 23.
Very special day.
So young.
Like me, guys, I am the youngest here. Out of these four young gentlemen here, I'm the youngest.
Remind me that. Just do the show now. It's fine.
All right, guys. What have we been watching? What have you been reading? Manga-wise, anime-wise?
Birthday boy?
What have I been reading? I forget the name that Sam recommended me, a good, ecchi manga to read. And it's so fascinating. I gotta say, I love it. It hooked me in. And it's a monthly chapter. Can't wait for next month to read it again because I want to know more about the story. Such a good ecchi manga. Really entertaining. It's such a good but you know what I did it for? For two reasons. For the research and for the culture. That's why I did it, guys.
Research.
Yes. Thank you for understanding. That's the reason why I did it.
I'm not a scientist, but I don't think you're doing some good research.
I'm doing research for many other different reasons. You know, it's not just for different type of things like doctors. You know, there's different kind of PhD. My PhD is research and
education. You just compare yourself to a doctor reading.
Yes, it's called a scientific breakthrough through the mind of gentlemen and women. I just couldn't go along with it no more. I can't.
You tried. At least you tried. You tried it.
What I'm still reading is Dr. Stone. I'm up to almost chapter 103. I'm to chapter 80. The manga, the story is so great. How like after I think they're in year 4,000 or year 3,000, and to know that one dude who has the most greatest freaking like photographic memory that can remember everything is building a civilization from scratch, and that's freaking amazing. And the story is just came to see animated this summer in 2019. I'm excited. That's one of my favorite anime adaptations, so I can't wait. That's one of the things I'm reading and watching. Why Here Sensei, I'm loving this episode this past weekend. It's such great. And Attack on Titan, he got his ass whoop. Other than that, to you guys now.
I have been rereading Attack on Titan. I'm trying to catch up to get close to everyone else, but right now I've just been rereading where the anime is right now, and I'm just remembering how insane these next couple episodes are about to be. And this episode, among all of the other episodes from part two, reminded me how much I love this anime. Like, I have a poster of it on my wall right now. I just love this anime so much. So I've been reading that, watching the anime, One Punch Man Season 2. It's been going good for me. I'm finally getting used to the animation. It's not bugging me as much. But the story is still there. I love Saitama. I love Garo. He seems like a really good antagonist. And I'm really looking forward to see what the rest of the season has to offer. Demon Slayer. I will praise this anime every single week that we talk about this. Demon Slayer is just so good. And I can foresee that this is going to be as big as My Hero Academia. I can see it. It's just so good. The animation is so good. The storyline is so good. I'm with it.
Right?
Same. Love Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer is so much fun. And it just consistently is good. Every episode, I'm like, all right, that was just a good episode. It was super solid. I laughed. I was a little sad. It was like, it gives me hope. Tanjiro's a great character. The only thing that I guess I'm kind of curious about how they're going to do going forward is the whole thing with the sister. Because I forgot about the sister for a while. And it's like, oh yeah, there's that weird thing. What are they going to do with that? So I'm curious to see where that goes from here. I'm like, hopefully they find a way to train her and make her some kind of like demon slayer. I don't know. That'd be cool. Yeah, like, so I that mean, way they're a team.
Kind of obvious from the intro.
I don't know. Cause like she can only go out at night. And so she would only have to travel with him at night. And it's weird, but he can only really fight demons at night, I guess. Maybe. I'm like, how are they going to make her useful? Because I guess she just has like this weird demon killer instinct for other demons. So, yeah. Does she get stronger by eating other demons? Is that what they're going to introduce? I don't know. It's weird. But other than that, you know, I love the show. That's just a little tiny, tiny thing. She's adorable, and she cracks me up in like the little end panels. So I think that's perfect. But other than that, I'm like, well, she's his motivation. But what else is she going to do? Is the question. So I'm sure they're gonna figure out
a way to fight alongside him.
I hope so, because I think that'd be cool. Or at least she'll come and she'll save him randomly when he's about to die for the first time. Oh, my brother!
It happened before. It happened like two episodes ago when she did that putt kick in the head.
Yes, but they've got a lot. They still have a lot of weird things to explain. Like, why is his head so hard? Why does his scar keep moving? I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff about that. I don't know if you notice, his scar has like grown. On his head, and so yeah. I'm like,
he did bat. He does do a lot of headbutts.
He does, and that's because he has such a hard head. And there was only one character that made notice of that, and they never talked about it ever again. It's like, why? Like, he's got such a hard head, and I'm like, that's weird.
He has a hard head and a keen sense of smell.
Exactly, and I'm like, so.
One thing I love about that is his sword. In that episode, sword mood swing, it just changed. Mm-hmm. I'm like. It just looked beautiful the way it just turned the animation.
The guy who was like, God, I was hoping it was going to be bright red. And I was like, I was kind of hoping it was going to be bright red too. But is fine. That's okay.
black reminded me of Zoro from One Piece. Like his black swords when he uses his haki. That's what reminded me of a lot. Like his black sword.
Oh, it reminded me of a cooler character, Ichigo and his Bankai, but that's fine.
I was going to say that. That's that on the video, too. I was like, oh, he loves his Bankai. Nice.
Agreed. And this in the video, but I said Zoro, Zoro Haki, because to me, Zoro's a much cooler character. Ichigo is just a Haki character that's not that great. But sure, I do understand.
Sure. That's fine. You are entitled to your opinion. It's fine. So yeah, Demon Slayer. I love it. Been watching that. I finally started Wise Man's Grandchild. It's all right. Like, I like it. I like the premise. I'm really curious to see what they do with his antagonist, because I'm like, well, it's obvious that that kid's going to try and become a demon to be better than him. So
catch up, it's my
very,
friend.
Very catch obvious. but I don't know. It's like I finally had some moments where I was like, okay, what am I supposed to like about this character? Because I'm like, this character does everything. And I'm like, okay, but who am I supposed to like? Like, he's cool. Like, he can do everything. But who am I supposed to like? All the characters are just kind of
generic.
So I'm just looking. Yeah, they're very generic. I'm looking for that one character. And I'm like, where's your edge? And I'm like, usually we have it by the end of the second episode going into the third episode. Mm-hmm. But I haven't really hit it yet. So I'm assuming you guys probably found it in the fourth episode. So, So I'm like, all right, we'll get there. But I'm like, okay, there's something here. Like, some of these shows I could just stop watching and, like, you know, there was nothing there. Like, Conception, garbage. Don't watch that. but this, I was like, there's something here that I'm going to keep watching because there's a hook that's coming.
It's just a lot of fun. It really doesn't take itself too seriously.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just fun to watch.
It is fun to watch, but mostly when he's using his magic because everybody flips out. You know, it was that thing where all of us, he's learning that everything he's taught is not the norm. Like everything. Yeah. Nothing that he does is normal. And he's like, are you serious? Like y'all don't do magic like this? And they're like, no, you freaking idiot. You're this weird monster from the woods, you know? So that's been interesting. Like seeing the normal people interact with this like super talented wizard It's like, that's kind of been the thing for me. When I'm like, oh no, I like this. Seeing everybody react to him is like the best part for me. So
yeah,
I like it for that, for sure.
You get that a lot because he was raised with no common sense of what's the social.
Exactly. Norm. None whatsoever, but I was like, that's expected of, you know, who his grandpa is. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's been like a factor throughout all of the iterations of that character. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's really cool. But I'm like, okay, I like this. But you know, but before that, I watched Attack on Titan, which kind of might have skewed how I looked at this, because Attack on Titan was just so good that it was like, oh, it was kind of hard to go to something like that right afterwards. I was like, oh, this is crazy. Attack on Titan is at its peak right now, I think. It's so good to the point that I'm like, why would I even want to watch anything else right now? I just want more Attack on Titan at this point because it's so good. And I know the thing is that these characters get better, but for right now, this is really freaking cool.
Every episode is just going to be better and better and better and better.
And I'm so excited because there's so much happening. Erwin,
he is the baddest motherfucker.
He's so good.
That episode, the way he just said it, like, yo, what's up? You still here?
Basically, one phase, not a single bit, was not even bothered. He's like, you've fallen into my trap. So if you would like to act accordingly, like I planned that you would, please do so. I was like, oh my God.
I love how cocky. He was amazing.
I mean, I don't think it's cocky. It's just that it showed that he's been through so much. Mm. He's learned so much.
Very true.
Sacrificed so much that this is how he has to be. Because if he's not, they don't succeed.
Exactly.
That's kind of the way I got it. And so I love it. I'm still scared of the Beast Titan because I know in an instant the Beast Titan can ruin everything is how I kind of feel about it. I'm really worried about the Beast Titan. So,
as you should be.
And I'm like, you know, he's like, oh, Levi, go handle that. And I go, no, you can't just send Levi. I mean, I love Levi and Levi's incredible, but you can't just send Levi to handle the Beast Titan. I'm like, oh, okay. This is gonna be nasty. I'm not ready.
I'm not ready for that. I don't think you are, bro.
It's gonna be very heavy. It's gonna get very heavy.
But Attack on Titan is great. I love it. Then let's see, what else I watched? Why Are You Here, Sensei? I think. And I'm mad. I'm mad at that show. I'm so mad. I'm like, oh, let me enjoy this. Censor. And I'm like, okay, let me censor. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Just let me watch. Nope.
I'm just a grown man that wants to see titties. Come on.
That's all. I'm like, just let me watch what I want to watch. It's not that hard. So, you know, I'm like, I'm just not going to watch this until it's... I'm just not, because I'm like, yeah, it's a killjoy.
Like, well, Crunchyroll is not ready to put that restriction where kids under 18 can't watch the uncensored version kind of
stuff. Oh, well, good. I mean, that's fine, but I'm still not going to let y'all slide on Goblin Slayer, so
it's weird, because they do have uncensored content on
Crunchyroll. They do. Very uncensored. So
what's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Is it for the old stuff or for the new stuff or current?
It's a mixture.
Yeah, it is a mixture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
They do have uncensored stuff on Verve and Crunchyroll, and there's a mix, and it's confusing. Like, can you make up your mind?
Right. Exactly. Like, I mean, is it to make sales or something?
I don't think that that's going to affect that. If anything, that would increase sales. Yeah.
I mean, so, if that was true, then they should make everything on all kinds uncensored or something.
And then I watched a new one today, and I don't remember what it was called, but it's in a similar line of Why You Here, Sensei, but it's like my girlfriend is Shitoko or something like that. I don't remember the exact name, but it's similar, but it's funnier.
What's the plot?
What's the plot?
It's basically this guy has this girlfriend, and she's like this over analytical freak, essentially. And she thinks too much about everything because she wants to have the perfect relationship. And apparently by everything she's read, the perfect relationship has everything to do with perfect sexual preferences. It's hilarious.
Okay.
What's the title?
Hold on. Let me look at them. Doing this.
Is it the new anime that?
It's not I'll try and can't study.
Okay,
no.
Okay.
Yeah, my girlfriend is Showbitch.
Oh, okay, her Showbitch.
Is that on Crunchyroll?
That yes. was that was recommended to me to a lot.
So yeah,
I might watch this after this episode.
It's hilarious. It's like it's what I've like. If you're not gonna do, you know, go for it with, you know, why you're here, sensei. At least do it like this. I think it's funny, and I guess it's yeah. I prefer this. It's hilarious.
So, watch on it after we record it. Then cool.
Yeah. Let's see. What else did I watch today? I think that was it. That was it. But I forgot to mention that. So I was watching, you know, Wise Man's Grandchild, and you know what? It really made me want to watch
Black Clover.
Yeah, I was like, why don't I just watch Black Clover? It's got way better characters.
Is it shorter than Black Clover?
That's okay.
I don't feel like Wise Man's Grandchild is trying to be that great, though. Like,
it's not. See, that's the thing, though. It's just not
trying to be super fun, super light. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, but, you know, my time is valuable, James.
I feel you.
It's not that I'm saying I don't like, because I do like Wise Man's Grandchild. It's just like,
but you could be watching Black Clover, which has like a shit ton more episodes.
Exactly. And so I'm like, I could be watching
Black Clover instead. But that's where I tell Ray to read it instead. Then I could tell you what episodes to watch where they did the good animation and good story arcs. That's what I'm telling you. Read the manga first, and then I could tell you, okay, go back to episode 60 or episode 50. Okay, then watch it from there on. Because I'm watching the Water Temple arc, some fights were great animated, but then Studio Para got lazy in some scenes. I'm like, really? Yeah, stupid motherfuckers. Why you got lazy?
Jeez, wow, harsh. But it's okay. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to get back to Black Clover 2. But yeah, that was basically what I spent my time on today. I haven't read anything recently because, you know, I've just been wanting to watch so much. But I did see what volume I would have to buy to, like, if I almost bought Attack on Titan volumes this weekend because I'm like, I just want to know. Yeah. And I was like, I could. Yeah. So I identify which volume I could start at, which is 19, which is where we are right now.
And yeah. Like, so next episode is the end of 19.
Yes.
So I picked it up and had it in my hand, and I was like, should I flip through this? And I was like,
no. No.
And so I put it back on the shelf. Until
it's animated, because it's going to be fucking insane.
I was this close to looking at it. I was like, I can't do it. So
don't do it. After you watch it, go back and read it so you can see how amazing it was
animated. All right.
I do say get the volumes of My Hero because you're very behind on My Hero. I think by now you are thinking like 40 chapters of My Hero, right?
I've got like 50 chapters to capture for.
I have like 70. I'm really behind.
And it was only because I slowed down because My Hero had a perfect jumping off point right after Overhaul. And I was like, I'll be back. So it's okay.
Trust me, you didn't miss much. Right now, it's where it's good.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I know that it's like, I have to get through this to get back to the hype again.
It's important
for anime to have this too.
Really good villain arc. And I'm loving the villain arc they have.
Good. So I'm going to catch up. I'm a catch up indeed. So
Sam, what have you been watching?
Oh, reading. You're the one that reads the most.
Well, what haven't I been watching and reading? That's the real question.
Everything.
I've been reading a lot of my CK stuff. Always like these, like go to a different another world and have those adventure kind of quests and stuff. Not like Goblin Slayer. No. Something that's more tame, then there are things that's more realistic, and then the more stuff that's like, okay, that's cool, that's having fun. Like same thing with Wise Man's Grandchild kind of.
If I say, are we gonna talk about that? Because that's weird.
What?
Wise Man's Grandchild, and I'm like that was. I don't know how they're gonna explain that. Like, is he reincarnated or?
Oh no, he died. He died, and then when he went to a different world.
Yeah, he died and then went to a different
world. Yeah, so I mean, he was a baby. Reincarnated into a different world.
Yeah, like, was he reincarnated for a reason? Did somebody summon him? What's up with that? I don't know. We'll get to that. I'm like, hopefully they'll explain that.
Well, Sam reads that, so he could probably give us a quick answer.
With those kind of stories, it's they're trying to make it seem like, oh, you're that one in a million people that's going to be lucky enough to be reincarnated into a different world. Or to
retain your memories.
Yeah. Right.
Which is why I'm kind of like, this is weird. So maybe they explain, because that I feel like that hook would make it far more interesting to me. It's like, you know, the grandpa knows. It's like, you don't belong here, but we love you anyway. You I know, mean, type deal. That's
true.
Yeah.
But then most of the time, you don't have the main character telling, oh, hi, I'm actually from another world. That's how I have all these smarts and geniuses and mm-hmm. all these inventive ideas.
That's why I'm so good at this, because I lived a whole nother life and then I lived another life on top of that, you know? Yeah.
Like there's a lot of like these kind of mangas where like, oh wait, this invention, it hasn't been built yet, this hasn't been existed yet, I'll make it myself, call it my own, and I'll make rich out of it. And there are many kind of concepts like that. I mean, why wouldn't you be rich by someone else's invention that didn't come into this part yet, just made it yours?
You made this, I made this.
Isn't that the American dream?
Oh my god.
And profiting off of it.
Right? That is
Captain America's ass right there.
Oh my god.
Right behind you.
Oh my god.
Thomas Edison was the first one that did that.
Oh man.
This is the history class of social studies, guys, back in high school.
But yeah, basically it's that if you go travel to a different world, because either like you played video games so much that you actually live into that video game and you know the ins and outs of this sort of game. Like the Death March. Raspberry anime, something like that, where like, all right, I'm actually the creator of this game, and somehow I just went to sleep after full exhaustion and I'm just transported into my own game.
So a lot of fun.
I know the cheats, I know the advantage, I know where to go and all that stuff like that. And apparently all these NPCs are like real people with like real emotion, like the whole AI kind of thing, where you don't know if this is computer or if this is real, or am I dreaming, or am I really dead and I got really reincarnated? Can I come back now?
One thing I love about She-Hero because of that exact reason, because She-Hero is a character that just came from another world but still knows about the schemes about games and everything like that. That's one thing I love about the character of Nofumi. He's one of my characters of this genre of isekais.
With Shield Hero, it's a little bit more different because you have technically four characters that came from another world to that area. It's just that one of them just got really shunned horribly and betrayed, while the other three are like, well, some of them are probably living the good parts of their life in the adventure world, thinking that it's a game, it's all not real, and okay with having people die in the game and shit like that. But, well, the one of the real hero where everything is real, everything is like legit, people, if you die, you really will die. He wants to protect everybody, even though like he had no choice but to. Because even though he had the short end of the stick, he's still like the strongest one to defend everybody. I feel like that's what makes the best isekai kind of genre. From you're going from the world's weakest to the world's strongest through hard work, knowledge, figuring things out, killing the strongest monsters and having a really cool party. It doesn't even have to be all female based. You can like be like dudes or guys. It's like you have a full entire team. And that's what I like about isekai kind of genres.
Agreed.
Completely agreed.
For anime, Attack on Titan, of course, Reiner, with the Thunder Spears. Yeah, Thunder Spears. Honestly, I felt it was a little slow for me in the beginning, though. It was getting a little slow for us when I was watching it. Like, it was cool. It was nice. It was great where Reiner follows Eren and then had the whole fight from there. And it was boss to see Erwin just like staring at Reiner, like, all right, I'm back to you, Beast Titan. Focus on me. I'm protecting my horses, but focus on me. I mean, it was a little slow in a way. Like, there was a lot of talking, there wasn't like too much of action into it. But yeah, it was still a good episode. That's why I still say Demon Slayer overtakes the Attack on Titan this weekend for me. Because there was I didn't expect a feels episode from Demon Slayer. I didn't get the whole I didn't expect the whole, oh my god, this demon used to be human and he had real feelings and emotion. He went through some crazy shit.
I agree.
Fuck,
that was a beautiful backstory.
F that demon. He killed so many kids. F that demon.
I mean, technically, he didn't have control of that. His demon instinct after he turned, he was forced to kill his own brother and eat him.
At the end.
Will did. Too bad.
He's here. He got emotional.
Oh, he got emotional. His demon's a demon, my guy.
Don't care.
Dead. Okay. You know who I cared about? Tanjiro. He had to survive. That's my boy now. He wasn't my boy. Tanjiro's my boy.
Got it.
I mean, it was also cool because all the other 14 kids, I was also there. Like, thank you for revenging us. Now we can rest in peace.
That's basically, like, yeah, which I did was, really, I really appreciated that, because we wondered about that at first. It was like, what's up? What was up with that? They were ghost kids, and it made me sad.
But hey, they trained him. They helped with the training, and like, yes, we got a revenge from our.
I really wonder how did they train him? Like, it really makes you think. Like, is there like a spirit realm in this place?
Well, I mean, if he could see if demons exist, spirits exist. So, I mean, yeah, they were able to show themselves to him as, you know, without ghosts. Him really realizing it. Yes, ghosts. Yeah.
That he can actually feel pain from every, like, sword fight strikes.
Yeah, which is nuts.
Which is nuts, right?
Yeah, but I mean, Star Wars, Force Ghosts.
Also true.
They can hurt you.
So I was kind of like, you know, it makes sense, because it all makes sense there, you know, demons and all kind of other crazy stuff, demon slayers, and yeah.
I mean, yeah, exactly. If you're gonna make all that true, like, he used the sword to cut through the strongest boulder, like,
which is still like, insane, by the
it
way.
It is insane. It is insane.
And it wasn't even a strong sword. It was just a sword.
Exactly.
His teacher set him up to fail, and he still did it anyway.
Exactly. That also helped me understand why he set him up to fail, because he didn't want him to go and die like the other kids had. It's just, and you know, it's, they don't tell you that. It's just, you have to kind of imply that from it. Yeah.
Deny him the chance to do it.
Exactly. And I was like, God, this show is so
good. So good.
So good.
But yeah, I feel like Demon Slayer overtook Attack on Titan for this weekend.
They were the same level for me. They're both, the quality of those shows is insane. So I just was like, I loved them both. They were so good.
One thing I want to say before Sam finishes and before we move on to the next topic, the most weakest anime that's been going on the past couple of weeks and has been annoying the F out of me is One Piece filler episodes that's been going on. No, it's been pissing me off. Like, if you like my reviews of the One Piece live reaction I've been doing the past couple of weeks, it's just that we're doing a great arc, the Revy arc, where it gives you the backstory of the world of One Piece. It gives you good stories. But then you gotta give fucking goddamn flashbacks times 100 in these episodes. Oh, we haven't seen these characters in 100, 200, 300 episodes. Let's give us a flashback of when we saw them and how close we are to them. I'm like, we know we're One Piece fans, you goddamn it. We've been here for 900 goddamn episodes, 900 plus chapters. So why the hell do we need a flashback to know of how this person is close to this person, how Luffy protected his kingdom and shit? Pissed me off the past couple three episodes. Like,
world building.
But it's just so much flashback.
Is that why Luffy's not in the room? Are you guys divorced right now? Like, you see other people for a moment, you know?
You're on a break.
You and Luffy taking a break.
Damn you, Ray. You know what I mean? Damn you. That's a good one, though. That's a good one. I can't deny it.
Anyway, I've also been watching Ao Chan Can't Study. I find it funny. Like,
yeah?
Yeah, I find it funny.
It looks funny.
It's really funny.
I've never heard of it. What's the premise?
A girl's father, who writes erotic fiction, Arthur, chose her name to be AO, like adult something. And then pretty much she grew up into a... Oh, okay. A stands for apple, and O stands for orgy.
Okay.
Yep. And then desperate to escape her father's legacy and get into a prestigious university, I'll focus on school instead of pursuing romance. She has no time for boys, but there is just one problem. Kijima, her handsome classmate, pretty much. She's having dirty thoughts every time when it comes to the guy, and the boy actually likes her. He's like the most respectful dude that always like cares and everything like that, but she always thinks of the negative towards him, like the perverted side in that sort of way.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty much he confessed his love for her, and to make matters worse, she can't stop thinking dirty thoughts about him.
Yep.
And then pretty much she tried to ask for her father for some influence or some advice sometimes and stuff like that, because he's the famous erotic fiction writer.
Okay.
I recommend it.
It's funny. Also been watching Sinryu Girl. That's a good slice of life. Feel good anime. good. Of course, Shield Hero. I think this episode, last episode, was actually pretty good. Wise Man's Grandchild. That last scene of the fight, it was short, but it was a good fight. I enjoyed it.
Aren't all the fights in that show going to be short?
So was One Punch Man's fight.
I can't spoil it for you, but
fine.
But I don't think so.
No, this fourth episode was great. Like, he did something beautiful. From
Miguel, stop talking, because you always are like, oh, I'm just going to say a little bit, and then you say too much. Stop talking.
Ray, keep watching. That's all I will say.
I'm going to catch up tomorrow.
But yeah, and then me and Miguel just watched Why Are You Here Sensei yesterday, Dororo,
yo, Ray, have you watched that yet?
Nope. I got to catch up with this other stuff first, man. I'm
sleeping on Dororo.
You got to catch up. I got to watch Shield Hero first. I got to watch Black Clover first. Come on. It's on the list, but.
But then don't you want to know where your end theme song comes from?
Oh, I know where it comes from. It is great. So, I mean, I've watched the end.
But guys,
it is great.
I got to say, I appreciate so much of how Ray puts my favorite theme song of 2019 on his ending streams all the time. It makes my day, makes my time when I hear it. I was like, oh, God damn it. Yes, he is.
You might also really like the intro, too.
I do. I like both of them.
That's amazing.
Yeah. All right, guys. I'm done with my side. Let's go on with the news. Detective Pikachu comes out this Friday, May 10th, and some scenes and behind the scenes were shown onto the for this film. So, how do you guys feel about Detective Pikachu?
I'm hyped to see it. I'm excited. I love Pokemon, and for it to actually be like brought out in a decent theatrical presence makes me happy.
We're going to get the best live game anime adaptation in literally a couple of days, and I'm excited. I'm truly excited to see Pikachu voiced by Ryan Reynolds, just to see how that goes. I'm really curious to see how this movie goes, and just to see the final battle against Mewtwo. Really want to see how that goes.
I mean, I'm going to be real with you. I'm not really going to see this movie for the story. I'm going to see it for all the Pokemon that are in the movie. Exactly. I don't care about this Pikachu that's a detective. I want to see Charizard, and I want to see Blastoise and Jigglypuff. And I just want to see all the different Pokemon, how they like.
I want to see Jigglypuff riding on somebody. That's all I want to see. Jigglypuff just sing. Whoever the singer of Jigglypuff just sing and just round somebody and get mad and then just beat up somebody. That's what I want to see a scene of.
Pound. Yep. I want to see it.
It's a very simple story so that you can enjoy everything else.
I can't wait. I'm going to get my little bag of popcorn and have me a good time.
Yeah. The animation looks great. The visual effects look great. Yeah. Like, I can't wait to see Mewtwo. Like, I love anything Ryan Reynolds does, so he's going to bring a lot of charisma to Pikachu, making it really interesting for audiences. So I already have my tickets for Dolby Cinema opening night, 7:30, and I'm ready.
I probably won't get to see it till Sunday, unfortunately. But I want to see it so bad.
Definitely catching a Saturday with Sam, so we're definitely going to be doing a review for that for the YouTube side, and maybe we'll do like a full spoiler review from the podcast side for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we'll definitely do it. Like probably for our next episode. But yeah, Detective Pikachu, Pokemon Company, it's definitely gonna make money, and they've put so much work into this. It's definitely gonna make the Pokemon Company more millions of dollars.
More money.
I mean, they already make billions, so I don't know if this movie alone will be able to give them $1 billion.
This is going to be chump change compared.
Exactly. Because like just because it's Pikachu, it's just main job is to attract all the kids to come watch this movie, and then you got the parents to come with them to watch it with them.
I think it's gonna make like $550 million at the end of its run. I think that would be great. Yeah.
I think so.
550.
My gut's telling me 700 to 800. 700 to 800.
There's too much competition, bro. There's way too much competition.
No, I could be totally wrong, but hopefully I'm right. But that's my gut feeling. I could be totally wrong, but I see your estimate happening more, James. But my gut's just telling me to go a bit higher, 700 to 800.
Yeah, if it came out earlier in the year, I would be right with you. But John Wick Chapter 3, Godzilla, like the summer is packed, bro. Like,
when is Godzilla coming out?
May 31st. May 30th.
And I'm going to be there. This looks like the best Godzilla movie ever. So
hell yeah, it does.
I'm in. I love me some kaiju films.
The week after John Wick, literally, back to back, Detective Pikachu, John Wick, and then Godzilla.
I mean, I'll see John Wick eventually. You know, it'll be on like FX or something one day, and I'll watch it.
it's always on FX.
So I haven't taken the time to watch the first two. My wife doesn't care about watching those, so it's like it's always hard to find a time for me to just sit and watch it myself.
Okay. So. All right. Let me try to make it seem like she could probably watch this. Does she love dogs?
Yes.
Imagine her dog, you know, going bye-bye.
That's going to make that not happen. She's not going to watch it. Why would she watch that?
Because what comes after is better.
The boogeyman.
So I need you to understand. Like, y'all think John Wick is scary? My wife, as a vengeful spirit, would be the worst thing the world has ever seen. She is powerful, y'all. I need you to understand this. So it's like, imagine John Wick times 5.
That's you haven't even seen John Wick. You have no idea.
I've seen enough to understand.
You have no
I've seen
point.
Enough. I saw one scene. That's all I need to see. That's it.
You can't handle the one.
You can't handle.
I watched the Matrix. I've seen that. So don't worry about that. But no, I've seen enough John Wick to know that you don't mess with that man. It's okay. I understand that. I get that. But no, I'm not gonna show her a movie where a dog dies in like the first. I don't know.
No.
It's, no.
Afterwards, no, it's what he will do afterwards.
Nope.
I think she'll enjoy it because Mm-mm. it's a great revenge story. I promise.
Nope. Trust me.
But yeah, for Detective Pikachu, I definitely can see that it's gonna make more money than Alita: Battle Angel for sure.
Most likely, yeah. Most likely, I do agree.
It's gonna need to, and like you can actually technically. Count Detective Pikachu as a live action anime as well.
Oh, yes, live anime and game adaptation. So, see that.
So, yeah, this would actually literally be the top live action
it's
anime.
It's more family friendly. Like, it's going to bring in so much more audiences compared to Alita.
Definitely. True.
Definitely, right. For sure.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next news. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Japanese animator shares their experience from this movie. Okay, guys, where do you want to start? Because apparently Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, it was a great, fantastic 2018 animated film. The number one. It deserved that Grammy, the Global Oscars, everything. Yeah. All the awards that came with it. It was fantastic. And these animators shared their experience working on this because there was real Japanese animators working on this movie.
And James, do you take it away first? Since I know that you have more thoughts and notes down more than us, so go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, I loved Spider-Verse. Like you said, Sam, it definitely deserved the Oscar. It is, as far as the animation goes, it's some of the best I've literally ever seen. And just listening to the animators talk about how it forced them to study different cultures and different walks of life. Like, it's a film that united different types of people from all over the planet. And I think that's something that's really important. It forced them to learn different animation techniques. We all get complacent in our jobs, you know, and they get to animate and create. And on top of that, they were able to branch out into a bunch of different studios that they might not have worked with, you know, to create something really unique and special. And this will force them to create stuff like this going forward. So I feel like this film is great on so many different levels. You know, it's great to watch, great to look at, and it brought so many different people together. And I can't wait to see more. I can't wait for the sequels and whatever they're going to do on Disney Plus.
Right, guys, anything to say?
Yeah, so I mean, one part that really stood out to me was that, you know, they talked about, and James kind of touched on, you know, how they had to learn about different cultures. And mm-hmm. specifically, they had to learn more about animating Black people. They're not used to doing that. And that's why we don't see enough of us in anime. It's because they don't really know. They don't know how to animate us well. And so if they can't do it well, they don't do it. That's just the way it is. So I thought it was awesome that they got the opportunity to branch out and to learn more about animating Black people, because I want to see more Black people animate, just straight up. It's you know, it's something that we see very few of, and when it's done,
all
it's still
Black people in anime look the same.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like we all look different. We all look very different. And it's like, so yeah, they're the more that they're willing to learn, the more likely we might get more diverse characters in anime as well. You know, and that's not, you know, saying, oh, replace these characters with, you know, no, I'm like, no, just add more black people to anime, just straight up. But they have to learn how to do it better. And I respect that they don't do it if they don't know how to do it well. I respect that. But I just, the fact that they're trying makes all the difference. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I do agree with what you guys are saying, because me, I love Into Spider-Verse. I cried at the end of that movie. The movie really touched me. I love the soundtrack of Into Spider-Verse. I listen to it until this day as well. Listen to it on a constant basis on my commute. I love Sunflower, Post Malone. I love What's Up Danger, all those songs. I can name them on top of my head. Like, that movie, really, I love it. I can't stop watching it. I have the Blu-ray. And I just, it's such a great movie that has different type of animation styles, American, Japanese styles. And it's so great just to hear Japanese animators give their opinion on how of what great privilege they had to work in this film. And that to me is very beautiful, because not a lot of people have this type of opportunity, and to say that what a great pleasure you had to do this and everything, and to give the thoughts about it, is just great to hear some feedback from these people to say, hey, thank you for doing this, did this, and then this opportunity was really grateful and all that. And I hope for us to see this more in the future, to hear other people's feedback from working on different projects and plus collabing with other different companies. So that's very beautiful.
Agreed. Because there was so much work, so much animation that was done so well. They've also mentioned that they spent 3 weeks for less than 1 second, for a cut that was less than 1 second. And because of so many retakes, and there's so much work. That's a lot of work to put into just for less than 1 second of animation film. That's how much heart and dedication and work was put into this. And it deserved everything, like everything that it deserved. And I can't wait for the sequel. I can't wait for them to have more animators, Japanese or worldwide, oh, yeah, or everything, to put into this work. And like to make even more fantastic. And how much money did this movie make? Like,
I don't know.
It was a lot though.
Yeah, it was a good bunch, mm-hmm, of money.
Oh, and a side note, yeah, you gonna wait for the next movie. It's gonna be a while.
I'm fine. I can wait.
It's gonna be a minute.
It took them like 5 years to do this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. Like, I can see that. If you take 3 weeks to take less than a second, I can see why.
That's like, what I'm saying. It's going to be a minute, but it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it.
Oh, definitely. All right, guys. We're going to go on to the next news.
Oh, quick question. Sorry. A quick statement. The movie made $375 million worldwide.
That shit's good. That's really good.
Man.
I mean, for animated film, though.
I mean, the budget was $90 million. I mean, that's good.
That's, I mean, I hope all those people got paid.
And recognition.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, time for a rant. Oh, I'm sorry, not rant. Wait, what? Right, the news of Sonic the Hedgehog film. The Sonic's design will be changing before the due date of the movie released. So, guys...
All right, so I need to get my anger out.
First, let's go to the negative side, to Sam and James. Then we go to the optimistic side, me, and then we go to the middle, Ray. So first, the two negative people here on the panel.
Mm-hmm. The two negative people here.
Who wants to go first and then take a swing at it, you or James?
Sam, you want to go first?
Sure, no problem. Like, I grew up with Sonic. I've watched many different kinds of the show, Sonic Heroes, Sonic Underground, Sonic Adventures, Sonic and Tails. I've watched it and I've played many of its games, even including the original Sega Genesis or even before those. And I've always had fun with Sonic. The art design, it was cool. Even though back then it was like the whole pixelated kind of screen, Sonic still looked great. It looked good. But then when it came to that trailer, I'm like, wait, what the hell did I just look? Why is there like a blue hairy monkey over there for some reason? Or like not even like something was wrong with its eyes, the teeth was wrong, and then the whole a part of the scene that got me cringing like not crazy, like first you have him like you have Sonic saying like, oh, calm down. You don't put the gun down. Don't shoot me with the tranquilizer dart. And then the guy shot him. He got hit by the dart and then he gets knocked out. But then when it came to the missile launching that's getting shot at him, he just time stops. Like, what? No. If you got, yeah, he's fast. He can't dodge this stuff. But you have to make this like Quicksilver from X-Men kind of scene, like where everything slows down and then you'd be like, oh, okay, I guess move here, I'll just move this here. That's what Sonic is. And if you're not going to do that, just make him disappear and let the whole explosion comes up. Don't do the slow motion and just have him be like on top of Robotnik's head and you're like, hey, buddy, what's going on? Something funny, something tricky. That's what Sonic kind of is. And that's why I did not like this trailer one bit. And I don't think this movie is going to do well. Like, this is like this literally is like a kick to the face of my childhood right there.
James? This movie is going to be shit. I can smell a terrible movie from a mile away, and I'm telling you, this movie is going to be fucking garbage. The design is terrible. It's animated. Just make him look like how he looks in the game. It's animated. I get it. Oh, we want to make him look more like an actual hedgehog. That's fucking stupid. You have the opportunity to make him look exactly like he is in the game. Just do it. Why do you think so many people hated it? Because it looks terrible. He looks stupid. Like, to me, it felt like they were trying to make Sonic into Deadpool and Quicksilver rolled into one, and it's not working. Jim Carrey is going to be the worst part of this movie because he's channeling the Riddler right now. And it looks ridiculous. I'm not with this at all. Everything looks stupid. I hate the humor is not going to work for me. He uses the rings to open up portals to different places. That's cool.
Yeah. That was cool, that's though. Cool. I do admit that
everything
was cool.
Else
that was cool. Shit. That was the cool part.
I thought that was cool. What? Everything else looks like shit. Like you said, Sam, he gets hit in the leg with a tranquilizer. And then, like, a couple scenes later in the trailer, he can enter Flash Time and just move rockets. But a tranquilizer gun, he gets hit in the leg. That's called bullshit storytelling. And that's going to be throughout this entire movie. And it's going to be shit. It's going to bomb. No one's going to watch it. Shit.
All right.
Your turn, since you're the one in the middle. And I'm the most optimistic, so your turn.
It don't look that bad. It's not as bad as James. It's not as bad as what you said it looks like. You know why? Because it looks better than the Tomb Raider movie, the Assassin's Creed movie. It looks better than what's that other terrible video game? It doesn't even matter because it was that bad. I don't remember. But this one does not look. Warcraft. It looks way better than that. Let me tell you. The only thing is, Sonic is hideous. He is hideous, and I feel like that'll make the biggest difference. I feel like the shitty jokes and the shitty lines, that's been Sonic forever.
Yeah, true. Okay?
Sonic has never been written well at all. Did anybody play Sonic 06, 07? Terrible game. One of the worst games I've ever played. Terrible game. All the dialogue and all the Sonic games is not good. It is not
that
good.
That doesn't mean that you should write shit dialogue for your
guess movie. What, though? It's not that it's the shittiest thing ever. It's on brand. Because you can't make an intellectual... Like, you can't make this super amazing, well-written Sonic movie. Just the source material does not allow for it. Like, I can see how it's like, you can make it better, but I think it fits for what it is.
I get it, but it just feels like it's trying to be other movies and not...
Oh, and it is, because that's Sonic. The only way it could exist. Literally. Really, it shouldn't exist. That's the thing. A Sonic movie should not exist, and it shouldn't work. But they're trying to make it work because they've had other characters that are similar work. And they're like, well, maybe it might work because this worked and this worked. So let's give it a shot. And that's kind of how I see the experiment going. It's like, people love Sonic, right? Yes, they know the small, cool hedgehog that they like that eats chili dogs, not this weird, lanky-looking furry thing that is like, hey, I'm Sonic the Hedgehog. You kids like magic? That's weird. Yeah, I don't like that.
That is very weird.
So it's like, this movie is not the worst thing I've seen, but it's, depending on the redesign, I'll give you, like, that is the caveat I have. Depending on the redesign is if I'm actually going to go spend money to see this movie in a matinee on like a Tuesday afternoon. Because if the redesign is not like up to like just the small little visual tweaks that like amateur artists have done online,
they'll have been great.
They not, know that that's what people want, so they
it's,
will.
I feel really bad for these people who spend all this time designing this character, and they're like, hey, make it better and do it in less amount of time. You know, I feel bad Sonic. For them.
I started playing Sonic on Game Gear when I was in elementary.
I remember
Game Same. Gear. Like, I, Sonic was one of my first games, period, on Sega. Period.
Listeners, you might not know what a Game Gear is. Google it.
Used a lot of batteries. Don't worry about it. But no, Sonic's been my dude for. I played almost all his games, even the obscure like fighting games he had on the Game Boy Advance. I like, right? You know. So I've been playing Sonic games for years, and I love them. It's like this isn't a really good representation of the character. So I'll give you that, James. Like, I'll give you that. But this movie is not going to be a complete shit show is what I'm hopeful for. It's not a complete dumpster fire. It doesn't look super great, but it's kind of like there's a lot of movies in this vein, and I can't remember any of them, and that's because they're forgettable. But still,
like this one will be bomb.
I'm trying to think what are some movies like this, because there's plenty that I'm like, oh, well, that existed, but it doesn't matter because I can't remember them. So that's what it's just going to be. It's going to be a movie that you go see, you laugh a little bit at the movie and go, but like, eh.
And then you forget about it
that in happened.
3 seconds.
It was like, hey, but it's like, that happened. It made me laugh in some spots. So cool, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we'll even see Supersonic. So that'd be cool.
So I guess it's my turn out of the four
panels. I really, you know, I'm really kind of judging you because you're the most optimistic about this. So,
I
know.
I work with the guy.
We all work. Sorry, Miguel. I want to hear what you have to say about Jim Carrey.
You know what, Jim Carrey?
Wait, that's what I was about to lead up with. Thank you, James, for taking my line right there. Since Ray didn't hit the Jim Carrey thing, I do agree with James saying that he started off as Riddler, but then once the trailer finished, I like Jim Carrey because we saw the Eggman with the mustache and everything. Like, okay,
that doesn't make the performance good though.
No, the mustache makes the whole thing, man. What are you talking about?
The performance
doesn't. The mustache and the bald cap changes the person.
Hell yeah, it changed the person. It made me look better. I'm like, okay. When I first saw Jim Carrey come out of the train or truck, whatever the hell that thing was, and come scream at the sergeant and do that whole little sketch that he did, it bothered the crap. I'm like, what the hell is Jim Carrey? Like, no, please, go die. No. Go crash and burn, just die right now. And I'm like, okay. And then once the trailer kept going on and they turned to Dr. Eggman, I'm like, okay, I'm liking this much better. Hopefully he turns into this like 20 minutes, 30 minutes after the movie starts, because hopefully we don't get this half of Jim Carrey and then the second half of Dr. Eggman, because I do agree with half of
what you said. You're not going to see Dr. Robotnik like you saw him in the trailer until the last 20 minutes of the film.
I can see that.
4 minutes. Last 10 minutes. I can see it. It's 10 minutes because I tried to, you know, they're going to set up a sequel.
15, yep. Just to be generous.
It might even be the after credit scene.
Nah. Okay, come on. You guys are being too rough in this trailer. Come on. Let's give it 30 minutes.
I don't think so, because like, how do you go from full army guy from full head of hair to bald guy with a big ass mustache and stuff like that?
So yeah, it's either going to be the last 20 minutes or an after credit scene to set up a sequel when he's actually the true rival to Sonic.
I'll give it 20 minutes max. 20 minutes max. I'll give that the least right there. But I really did like this trailer. Not like it. I really was optimistic about it. I was like, okay, you're not impressing me, but you have my attention.
So, hold on. Before we go any further, I would like to submit some new evidence to this committee. As James said, he said, Sonic is they're trying to make Sonic Deadpool and Quicksilver.
Okay,
So, this version of Quicksilver that you're referring to is the one that we recently saw in the new Fox X-Men movies, correct?
Yes.
Days of Future Past, yeah.
And yes. X-Men First Class.
Yes.
So or Apocalypse.
That version of that character is the first time we've seen him.
Yeah.
So, Deadpool, first appearance, 1991. You know what Sonic's first appearance was? 1991. There's a conspiracy here.
Damn it, Illuminati.
What if Quicksilver from the Fox movies is literally just trying to be Sonic the Hedgehog?
Boom.
So we've already got the best version of Sonic the Hedgehog the Quicksilver from the X-Men.
Sonic with old hair, it just grew years later. It's all connecting the dots, guys.
I'm sorry. Also, I had to throw that out there because it's all ridiculous.
Very.
I agree with Jay. This movie's not going to be what we consider good. Mm-hmm. By any stretch of the imagination, but I don't think it's going to be this Dragon Ball Evolution abomination.
Definitely not.
So, but, I mean, it's just, yeah, there's that, but I'm like, yeah, it's not going to be good, but it'll be watchable to a point.
Yeah, but I feel like we've grew up with Sonic, not just the video games, but even the Sonic Adventure shows, Sonic Underground, Sonic X. Every other generation, there was a Sonic, and we grew up with the show, and we fell in love with Sonic and stuff like that. The video games, too, from the Sega Genesis or, like, the Sega Saturn, those kind of games. We've loved and enjoyed Sonic. But the thing is, now you're introducing this new generation. You want to introduce it to this movie, like this Sonic movie?
Are you trying to say that this is ruining your childhood, Sam?
Yes, it is. It's like a kick in the face.
Like every kid out there screaming anything out there.
That's not possible. You still enjoyed Sonic for what it was at the time when you were a kid. This can't ruin your childhood unless it goes back in time and punches you in the mouth as a child. So I think you're fine.
it won't if I don't watch it. So.
It might. You better be careful.
Well, sorry, I have to watch Sonic the Hedgehog because, you know, for us to review it for the channel.
Can we point out the other stuff too? Like the whole him could not stop, like he could not dodge a tranquilizing gun, but he can stop a missile from just stopping forward and stuff like that.
Yo, I've never seen James roll his eyes.
It's called bad writing. Bad writing.
It's bad writing.
Let's go for the bit. It'll be funny if he gets hit with a tranquilizer. Oh, look how funny it is. It's but hilarious. Now... Oh, because it's missiles and this scene would look really cool. Then he's fast enough. This film is going to be filled with scenes like that. Mm-hmm. Shit that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but it's good for the scene. It's not cohesive to the film, but it looks good in the moment.
Yes.
Garbage. I can agree. See it.
I want to point out the whole, these rings that Sonic's been collecting to make him go faster or just to give him an extra life also somehow gives you go to another dimension, like it's from Doctor Strange's circle. Like,
I thought that was ridiculous.
When we talk about adapting things and how they adapted this character and how poorly they've adapted it, that was the one thing where I was like, that's an interesting adaptation and an interesting spin on how the rings work. Because how else were they going to incorporate the rings? I was like, well, that's cool. It's obviously a piece of technology that he has from his world, wherever he comes from. Like,
how can you use the rings in the real world when it's technically in the game you just collect it just to go faster? But in the
it wasn't just go faster. It was like an extra life, just in case Sonic gets hit or dodge or something like that. You just lose coins. Really. You just lose.
But that's just a very video game. Like, how do you take a video game mechanic and translate it to a real life ish situation? You know what I'm saying?
But you're copying something from like the Marvel movies of Doctor Strange. You make portals. So are we gonna be saying that? Literally, there was a portal for the Sonic universe. They were supposed to be there and fight in the NBA.
I mean, Doctor Strange thinks it's just a bunch of sparkles. I don't have no connection to that, but this is a Sonic ring. That makes sense to me. Remember how you jump through the big one and you go to a different level in Sonic? That's how it works in this.
Exactly.
That would make more sense. That it was like the giant rings, yes, but it was like those smaller rings and that sort of
stuff. I mean, it was a small ring that turned into a big ring, but I could also see the transference of the logic on that, I guess. So, I don't know.
I do agree, and with what Ray said, maybe Doctor Strange is another type of Sonic, just like Quicksilver was a Sonic.
Now you're taking it too far. No.
I'm trying to pull straight.
I'm wondering if this is a message that Marvel wants to control the Sonic universe now, and now Disney wants to do a Super Smash Bros. Movie.
Smash Bros. Ultimate versus Marvel MCU.
Actually, hold up. I like that idea. So let's not act like it's impossible. You know, Smash versus, you know, Ultimate Marvel versus Smash Bros. 3. I like it. I like it. That roster would be nuts.
Copyright that. This is our copyrighted version. It's our proof.
It's not. Please don't. Don't sue us, Disney. Nope.
Nintendo, please don't come at us either. If you do want to sponsor us, please come at us. We will support
you. If you want this idea, you have to buy each of us. That's the idea. But yeah, that would be great to see. I have hope for Disney to be funding that kind of Super Smash Bros. Movie kind of thing.
Who knows? We might be able to get it one day. One day, if we got what we just got with the Avengers, is possible. I think anything is possible at this point.
Yeah,
that's very true.
And plus, this weekend, the Pikachu is possible. So you know, things are coming. You know, things are happening. So probably next year, 2 years from now, we see a Kirby movie. That's it.
Oh,
God, no.
God, please. No.
Please, no.
I don't do that to Kirby, man.
Give us a Kirby Pixar short, and I'm there, but not a full.
Okay, that's it. No. That's it. That's all I need. That's good.
That's possible.
How about, I'm okay if it's just give all the Super Smash Bros. Shorts, and then just make them all one big movie.
I'm mad that you birthed that into the world. Oh, my God. Now it's going to happen. I'm going to get this weird Kirby movie, and it's all your fault, Miguel.
I'll go crazy if we see a feet, like Kirby with feet. Toes. Stop. And feet.
Stop. He's
gonna be wearing Jordans.
Oh no. Oh no. Okay, guys. Let's move on to our next news. Yonko Production posted the picture of the Samurai 8 premise. As the galaxy nears the end of its existence, it won't survive for more than a century. A samurai receives a mission to save all the planets and its inhabitants by finding Pandora's box. The warrior god Furumui places a secret inside of it and what will save the world. However, in order to open it, they have to find the seven keys and Hichimaru, a weak child who's needed medical assistance since birth, might have something to do with it. Honestly, I kind of like it. This premise sounds pretty interesting.
It does. It really seems interesting for this new work of Kishimoto, the one that did Naruto. And I'm really excited for this. This one reminds me of a mixture of Naruto. And for those of you who have read Eden Zero. So that's what it reminds me of, a mixture of space, opera, and storytelling with different planets out there. So instead of going to villages, we see different planets. So more of a world building. So this seems an interesting premise. And Kishimoto has had almost 2-3 years now since Naruto ended. So I hope he has had time to build the world, build the characters, know what's the power scale, stuff like that. So I'm really curious about this. So I really like the premise. I like it.
Yeah, I like the premise a lot. Like, instantly there's stakes, right? The existence as we know it is only going to last for another 100 years. How do we change this? What do we do? Instantly there's stakes. So I'm in with that. Finding the seven keys to get to Pandora's box, like instantly we have the MacGuffin, the thing that we're trying to get to save the universe. So instantly, just from this small synopsis, I know what it's about and I'm really interested to see what happens.
Saves us a lot of filler right up front, so I'm glad. It's good.
Yep. I'm actually more also interested with the main character too, a weak child who needs medical assistance. And from the preview chapter that both me and Miguel read, he actually needed prosthetics, he needed crutches, and he actually dreamed to be a samurai and stuff. It sounds like a samurai version Naruto already, but without...
Yeah, we already know he's going to grow up to be the greatest Hokage that ever lived.
But also something that I really love about this premise
is the Pandora of the box. Universe.
I love the premise about the Pandora box. Like that feels some type of God of War type of idea in it. So that's really dope.
I mean, because it adds a level of mysticism that we're not used to with stuff like this. So, which I'm okay with. It's just as long as they pull it off well and it doesn't turn into this the traditional my gods versus your gods type thing.
Like, kind of. But I'm thinking like with seven keys and Pandora's box, it's seven keys, like the seven deadly sins or something like that.
I was thinking the seven Dragon Balls.
Yeah, I was thinking more Dragon Balls.
Okay. I was thinking that each planet is going to have one of the keys and you have to defeat the lord of that planet or something like that. So that's just me throwing, I guess, out there throwing...
I mean, I definitely want to read it. James said, I'm already hooked just because I know what the stakes are. I know what they are trying to accomplish. Like, this is, if they don't succeed, this is what happens. This is, they already let you know.
And the whole like secret that's inside that it will save the world from Fudo, like the warrior god Fudo Mui. So I guess the existence of God exists in a galaxy in space.
Or multiple. Yeah. It was one of those things I told you. My God versus yours is what it sounds like.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm interested. I can't wait for the chapter comes out, because usually the first chapter of anything is like probably like 100 pages within that one chapter or something like that.
No, he said that the first chapter this weekend would be 72 pages.
Yeah. That sounds like a typical long chapter, like Attack on Titan and all that stuff like that. But yeah, it sounds good. Can't wait for that. All right, on to our next news. Seven Deadly Sins manga teases climax in next chapter. This year's 23rd issue of Kodachi's weekly shonen magazine teased on Wednesday that Nakaba Suzuki's The Seven Deadly Sins manga will reach its climax in the next issue on May 15th. The next chapter, the 310th in the series, that will be titled Farewell, the Seven Deadly Sins.
Without saying spoilers for you, Ray, or first, for James and Ray, that for the people and the readers that have not caught up with the Seven Deadly Sins and probably only watched the anime, the manga is finally finishing, and I'm curious to see where it ends for the final chapter. The last arc that's been going on the last 60, 80 chapters have been
decent. It's actually decent, pretty good.
Above average. The most ending series don't have the chance to finish or feel like it's a rush. So this one actually had a plan. He's been having this plan before, like Sam said,
since the beginning, like when beginning. He made the first chapter.
So that's very good that he's been having his goal and set out since the very start, and he got it accomplished the way he wanted to. Even though some readers like me or Sam or other readers are not happy with this story being the way it ended, but it's still the way the creator and the author wanted it to be. So that's the most important, that the author feels satisfied with the story being the way it is. And I'm very happy that he feels the 310 is the way to go. I'm happy that we have the anime for another 2-3 years, for another 2-3 more seasons. So I'm happy for that we get more Praise the Sun Escanor. So that's one thing that we're happy to see.
Well, yeah, like the anime that's coming out in December or November or December, it's actually, they say it's like a side story, but it's going to lead to the climax. So it's still being teased that this might actually will be the last chapter. We don't know if there's going to be a side story or a continuation or something like that. But at this moment, the ending is not as too great. So that's the reason why I'm thinking there would be a side story, because this is not where the end is. This is just a different way to help transition into a new story involving the Seven Deadly Sins somehow. So it might say next chapter is the last chapter, but I don't really think it is the last chapter. They're going to have like a continuation going on. That same thing like Fairy Tail is having with Fairy Tail 100 Quests.
So, it's like a spinoff.
Yeah, like a good spinoff.
And how do you, James and Ray, feel about it? The people that are more anime watchers, you feel like, you don't know how to feel yet because you guys don't know how it's going, or have any thoughts about it?
I mean, I really want to start reading it because, I mean, the anime is taking too long for me and I need to know, because stuff has been spoiled for me, but I don't mind spoilers. I just want to know how these characters get to this point. So I'm really interested to read the manga and just find out where it goes.
I'm with James. This was going to be one that it'll take too long. Kind of like, you know, but not when that weird transition between Attack on Titan and when it came out again. I felt this is going to be longer, actually, because it sounds like there's some weird rights issues the anime. And so that could take some time. So, yeah, I definitely just want to read it so that way I know. I mean, I really enjoy the anime. Don't get me wrong. And I'll probably watch it. But I feel like I could read it now and be just fine. I think that that's probably gonna be the way I go. I'm glad that they are gonna have an actual conclusion, because anime like that, you know, no offense to them, this is one that I was like, it might not ever finish, but it looks like it is, so that's good. I want to see how it ends. It sounds like, and when you said climax, I was like, oh, word, for real? But then you were like, oh no, there's gonna be a spinoff, and I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
I'm predicting a spinoff. I'm guessing. Yeah.
Rumors are saying spinoff. It's not fully confirmed by anybody, but it's rumors that there will be a spinoff. Hopefully there is, because we want to know stuff about other characters that have not been mentioned in the last couple of chapters. Like, hey, where does this person disappear? Can we answer for that person?
Because like, why else would you tease that next chapter is the last chapter, because its title is named Farewell the Seven Deadly Sins? Why tease it? You just say, yep, it's definitely the last one. We finished it. We're working on that last scene, whatever. And we hope you guys enjoyed the ending. And if it really was the ending, this last chapter better be like its standard last chapter number of pages, like at least 30 to 50 pages, just to cover up everything until the end.
Agree.
That's what I'm saying for that. All right. Next news. Netflix premieres Seven Seeds. That's going to be anime worldwide on June 28th. The Netflix describes this anime as, in the immediate future, a giant meteorite has collided with Earth. All living organisms, including mankind, have been wiped off the face of the Earth. The government, who had foreseen the outcome, took measures to counter the worst-case scenario called Project Seven Seeds, in which five sets of seven young men and women were carefully selected and placed into teams. Each participant sought ways to survive on a deserted island.
This reminds me of some type of...
Sounds like a CW show. They turned into an anime.
I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah.
The whole cover photo of the main character, which I presume is the main character, looks like some guy from the CW. I saw like, he looked like some guy that's like from the Green Arrow, the Flash, some type of last week or something like that. Like, did he just hop off the boat and just
say, I can't even lie. This sounds like the 100.
Yes, 100%. Sorry. But yeah,
That's so true.
It's like 100.
That's so like, true.
This is a CW. It's a CW show.
From 100 to 7. And their kids.
Sounds like it could be a logical next step for them.
That's kind of true. I mean, you're going post-apocalyptic kind of world, and you count, and the government is counting on seven young kids to team up to do stuff.
Imagine that, though. They do all this work in the 100. They get everything. They're like, oh, yeah, we did it. Meteorite. Yo.
Wow.
All jokes aside, it does sound interesting. It does sound like something I would watch. So yes. I'm for it.
I would give it a few episodes, and if it was like some weird suspenseful sci-fi type anime, I'd stick with it. Yeah.
I mean, like, Netflix is coming up with their anime game. They still have Evangelion
next month.
Evangelion.
A man of clock culture.
I really can't wait to watch that. I'm serious. I really want to see that.
I mean, they also have Ultraman up. I still need to finish Ultraman from
Netflix. I haven't finished Ultraman. It should never come in just to go back to it.
Just take your time.
Yeah, I'm just gonna take my time with
it. Instead.
I mean, yeah.
One day.
Alright, guys. Seven Seeds has some hope. Netflix's anime's game is actually coming up pretty well. Can't wait for it. We'll give it a shot. All right, guys. Next news. The Consensual Quintuplex and Danmachi anime gets a season 2. First of all, let's talk about Danmachi real quick for that second season.
Okay, that's fine. We can talk about that first. Yes, please. It's about time. This is also one of those anime, James, that literally took forever.
That's actually true. That's very true.
And I feel like I should have just read it because, God, it's been like 6
actually no years? Even reading it couldn't help you, because technically the anime followed, like, literally
it's the light
novel,
right?
I think they followed the light novel, but the anime literally far past the manga, and then right now the manga
finally caught up into it,
and I have no idea what's going to be happening on this.
Nobody knows
at all.
Nobody knows. So that's something I'm excited, because I just watched the Machi 3 months ago, literally when January hit. I was the match.
That must be nice. Yeah.
I binge it. So then that's when I say, yo, when the second season come out?
Perfect. There is none. And I'm like, wait, there is none.
I'm like, Miguel, there isn't one. But then a month later, we're like, yo, Miguel, there's a second. Like, yes! I love this anime so much. Once I watch it, I fall in love with the character, the story, and then that freaking cliffhanger got me so pissed, because I want to hear me.
Was it a cliffhanger, though? It was just...
It was a cliffhanger leading up to, you know, there will be another season. Like,
I guess, but
I mean, so I guess I would consider it like a hard chapter end. Like, you know that this is the end of this chapter.
Agreed, but like, just getting the information that we had a feeling this kid was special, and to get it told by him, like one of the gods, to say that, like, really now? And then just say, I knew it. He was special. I'm like, okay, but can we get more of him? I want more of him. I want more of my white hair dude.
You gotta watch the OVAs, my guy.
Yeah, like I watched the OVAs, and I actually watched I read the side stories too, and they are actually a lot longer than the manga chapters of the original story as well.
Yeah, and I was surprised that the OVA was as long as it was.
Yeah,
it's right after. It's right after the end of that fight.
So actually, like, a little bit before and then a little bit afterwards, because for the side stories, you get the perspective of the Sword Princess herself.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then you have the whole hot tubs episode thing. That was just for fan service.
It was 100%, like, James.
That was for fan service.
When I say fan service, like, this is the definition, literal definition of fan service in this
episode. The titties are always bigger.
I'm like, oh, let me check this out. I was like, I didn't know there was more, you know, is it all right to pick up chicks in dungeon, but the name is different. It was like, is it all right to go to a hot spring in a dungeon or something weird like that? I'm like, oh, that's weird. Telltale sign. I was like, oh, it's the beach episode, except this is literally all hot spring. And then I guess I don't want to ruin it because it's like, it's the most fan servicey thing ever happens.
I was like, I'm not hearing any complaints though. I'm not hearing complaints.
Me neither. Episode.
Because it's just, I was like, wow, this is legitimately 100%
fan
service. Like, in the definition of the word, this episode, this OVA is it. 23 minutes of fan service.
I mean, if you want a continuation of the story, I would suggest watching the side story of it, the Sword Cathedral or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the Sword Princess, because her story is actually pretty interesting too, like, of why she fights and why she's falling for the main character himself.
And James, you will really love this anime. Once you get to watch it, hook on it, you will love this anime, and you will just binge it within the day.
To me,
I'll watch a few episodes.
To me, it was the best part to Sword Art Online. All the best parts.
It was hard work, comedy. It was all there. It definitely was a great build-up and hard-working main character kind of. Mm-hmm. Isekai almost.
But that's high praise for me because I love SAO.
But, I mean, it's got way more fan service than SAO, so there's that.
It does have way more fan service than SAO, and that's what I love about it.
But here's the thing. You need a balance of good fan service and anime, because Sword Art Online didn't have enough of fan
service. That's why I love High School DxD. It is the perfect blend of anime. Everything that you want.
Oh, man.
I agree. All right. But High School DxD is here. That match is here. That's how good the match is, James. And I just watched
it. Yeah, the animation was good.
And I just watched the match in January, and High School DxD, I've been watching it since 3 years ago. So trust me, the match is this good to be this close to my
queen. Is it on Crunchyroll or
Shrine? Yeah, it's on the original. It should be on Crunchyroll. The hot spring episode also in Verve.
Verve High Dive has a dub, and the dub is amazing. The dub is amazing.
Yes, that's how I watched it tonight. I was like, oh, let me click this, and it started with the dub, and I was like, okay. Then it was actually good.
Yeah, the dub is amazing.
And the side story with the Sword Princess, you can watch that on Amazon Prime.
Okay. I'll watch that. Yeah.
Okay, and then next, move on to the Consensual Quintuplets. This anime was from last season for winter 2019, and me and Miguel actually really like this.
I love this. This is my favorite.
I hate that name. What is it about? I watched the trailer.
I watched the trailer and I was like, what the fuck did I just
watch? I don't know what this is about. Right,
Sam, count me for a minute. Let's do another session of Miguel.
Oh, no.
good anime in the worst way possible. All right, let's do it. Sam.
Okay.
So we have here five twins. Sorry, not five twins. We have five girls, five women, five ladies.
Quintuplets?
Quintuplets, thank you. And I can't pronounce the name very well. So quintuplets. So each of these girls all look like when they were little, but their mom passed away. So for them to look all different, one of them changed the color of the hair. One of them, you know, have more attitude. One of them more sporty. So each of them have all different personality after they grew up. But they want that one kid here, when they were younger, fall in love with one of those five kids. I mean, one of the five girls. But then when they got older, those five bitches, you know, change personality, hate this kid as their tutor. But the father, who is like a millionaire, pays his tutor to teach this woman to pass high school, because these four girls are hella stupid, retarded, dumbass bitches. But yes, so connect and become good friends. And then somehow they have to pass school for them to graduate and finish high school. And that's a difficult task for this tutor because these are stupid idiots that don't want to study. But somehow these five ladies fall in love with him and be like, oh my God, I want to be with you. But then only one of them has to be together with him because, you know, there's five girls and one guy and they cannot all date this one guy. You know, there's not type of, anime. But yeah, is that past a minute? I don't know.
Yeah. You already been past the minute. As you were talking.
That's all I got right there.
I got nothing.
So basically,
you just convinced me to not watch this anime. That's fine.
So basically,
you guys enjoyed the 1 minute of explain that anime from the Anime Lily segment here, guys.
That's just from you, man. Not for me.
All right, so, Sam, explain the good way in
so
1 minute.
So basically, the scene starts with the main character marrying his wife, and he's explaining going through the past of his backstory of how he met his wife in future. But the thing is that once he pretty much goes to school, he's the most studious person ever. He always gets the 100. He always gets the first place because he wants to go through college with a free ride and that stuff because his family is poor. So he'll do whatever it takes to get the free ride, go to work, support his family, and that sort of stuff. Next thing you know, one girl asks him to help tutor her because she's dumb as hell. And then, like, pretty much he said no, and then, like, can't do it. Next thing you know, he has a tutoring job, and he has to tutor this girl, and which apparently is the girl that asked him to tutor her and stuff like that. She rejects him. Pretty much he begs to be her tutor because he needs the money, because his family needs the money, because they're broke, they're poor. Basically, next thing you know, when he had to break in and entering into her home, saying like, "Please let me be your tutor. Your father hired me and everything, and I promised to tutor you." It's like, okay, that's nice, but you know, you're supposed to tutor all five of us. And next thing you know, this one girl is one of quintuplets.
That's literally the whole first episode, by the way.
But yeah, okay.
Still not convinced to watch this. Thanks for explaining it.
So basically, one of the quintuplets is his future wife, but he doesn't, because the whole past story is that in his past, he used to be a whole punk rebel. I'm a kid and shit like that. And apparently he fell in love with one of them, but back in the past, all five of those quintuplets looks the same. Now they're grown up and they all look completely different with different personalities and different ways. Basically, the reason why people fell in love with this anime is
because a team of them. And I'm Team Miku here. Team Miku.
It's because each and every character, the girl, is different, like have different personalities, different ways and different likes. And throughout the anime, how each girl like starts falling for the main character in a way. And the main character needs to figure out which was the girl that I've met during my childhood.
Yeah. So that's the reason why people fall in love, because that's just a team member.
Have to watch it.
Yeah. We truly
I'll check it out.
If you really want to choose out of the winter anime of what was the best lesson, like Domestic Girlfriend, the Quintuplets, or the other one that was there, I forgot, definitely Quintuplets would be the best one. That was the most entertaining, the most that I was always on top of watching and everything like that. So truly recommend it if you want to catch up on a slice of life, drama and everything, entertainment, laughter, definitely Quintuplets.
Yeah, yep, definitely agree. All right, guys, let's move on to our Q&A. All right, guys, Jacob Martin from No Anime, No Life. Good old Jacob. Thank you for all these questions. Let's go with the first one. Do you think an anime with subpar animation can be good or enjoyable if the writing is enjoyable? Can the writing outweigh animation quality? And do you believe that's only specific to a certain genre where they can get away with that?
So I'll start this one off. I think story trumps everything. If you have a great story and a great arc with great characters, that trumps anything. I can watch any animation style if the story's good.
Agree. I definitely prefer the story over everything else. The animation doesn't really bother me in any way, especially with One Punch Man Season 2. And I'm going to agree with the whole
good
crowd.
Good example.
Animation was just nothing compared to the first season, and we all know why, Madhouse and all that stuff like that. And we're going to all complain and stuff like that, and that forces a lot of people to not watch these anime. But really, if you just stick around because of the story, you're in for a treat. You don't need to stay for the animation. You could just stay for the story, and it's actually good.
Yes, Ray.
Really, though?
Yes.
Is it, though?
Yes.
Goes and contradicts what the two gentlemen here to my sides here say. Let me go and give my two cents before, you know, Ray contradicts what we're going to say. So I have to agree with the gentleman here because I'm a person who loves animation. I'm a person who always like to judge it, but at the same time, as a story entertained, I'm happy. Like, when I saw the movie Mirai last year, the animation for a couple of minutes, I'd say the first 5-10 minutes grew on me. At first, I wasn't a big fan of it. But once I understood the director and the style that he's used to doing summer wars and everything like that, I understood this is the style of animation, the way he likes to do hand-drawn mixed with CG in some scenes. So I've grown to like different type of animation by seeing different type of directors, the way they do it. So if the story is good, it keeps me entertained. Like Dororo. Dororo's animation sometimes falls
off. Good example.
Or the feet is not always well animated, but you're still entertained by the story to where it goes. Killing the demons, getting his body parts back, all those type of stuff, it keeps me entertained. So as long as the story is good and the animation is not completely horrible to shit, then I'm great. I am happy as a customer, as a fan, as the audience. I'm good. Now, Ray, destroy our train of thoughts.
I'm not here to do that. I'm like, I also enjoy things that have fantastic stories. I will always pick the story, just like the way I play my video games. It doesn't matter how the video game looks or how it plays. If it has a great story, I'm going to try and get through it. But those things do matter. I'm not going to say it matters more than everything else, but like it's, as long as it's watchable or it's playable, I'm there for it. But it has to have a good story. It could be the best looking. It could be the best playing game. But if it has a story that I'm interested in, I'm not going to keep playing it or keep watching it. Because that's what keeps me there. And for me personally, you know, and that was, you know, the case of One Punch Man. It's like, yeah, I get it. You know, they're like, oh, the animation is not super great. I didn't really care about that. I was like, yeah, it was really cool to see really good animation that first season. But the story just didn't capture me that first season either. You know, so it's like, yeah, I get that. I understand. People really enjoy it. And that's completely fine. It's just that I enjoy spending my time with really good stories. And. Same. You know, One Punch Man is good. It's just for me right now. I mean, not saying that that won't change in the future because I'm open to always having my opinions and things that I like change. Right now, I'm not digging it right now, but maybe in the future, I'll pick it up and I'll enjoy it. That's the thing. That's the beauty of life. We can change the way we feel about things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it doesn't have to be perfect animation, but I do really want it to be a good story because that's what matters to me.
Can we say like the animation is like the looks and then the story is like the emotion, like the inside of the person? Of like,
it's the personality for sure.
Yeah.
I will put one thing over animation to me, a story, second, the score and soundtrack, then animation. That's me. My point is because I love score and soundtrack more than animation because if the score is there and keeps me like your name, music and score wins me over more than animation, even though the animation is godlike beautiful. But the score is really what keeps me there because I just could just close my eyes and be like, in a whole melody cloud.
Yeah, I mean, we've all watched stuff where the score has taken you out of what you were watching, even if it was nice and, you know, it was good and the story was okay. If the score was bad, it like kind of was like, oh, well, that was weird, you know?
Agreed.
It doesn't really happen too often in anime, I think. But, yeah, like, you know, bigger movies, it's happened.
The score in Attack on Titan is huge for me.
Yes.
Agreed.
Like
the it score, drives the show.
Yeah, the score sets the mood. Have you ever tried to watch a movie on mute? Like it's just not the same effect. The score drives every beat of whatever you're watching. So,
especially Attack on Titan. It's so important for Attack on Titan. But there are certain anime where they all work perfectly in this like beautiful cohesion.
Like Attack on Titan.
Like Attack on Titan, like My Hero Academia, like Violet Evergarden. There's so many different anime where they when they hit all those notes hit perfectly. They just it works so well, and it's one, and that's why we have these people who are so passionate about them because they the animators and the sound and people who do the sound and the art they all just it all works, and when it does, it's great. So, yeah, you just gotta be excited to think about Attack on Titan because they do music some of the best. Period. Yeah.
Agree with you guys. All right, guys, let's move on to our next question. What anime or manga or visual novels broke the camel's back of indecision and convinced you to start purchasing merch, be it figurines, wall art, or manga and Blu-rays?
I'll start this off since I definitely know what is that broke the camel back for me. For DVDs of involving anime is related, Your Name. Your Name movie. Once I know it was coming out, I got my limited edition ready. And my second one that broke that was Sword Art Online Ordered in Scale Limited Edition. Those two, once I saw, I'm like, I have to buy it. And then that's when I started to buy more anime, westernized animation related type of content. I had to buy it. For posters and everything, as you could tell, my big, you know, stick guy does not technically here right now. But, take a break. My boo-boo right now, he's not here, but he's right here. His Jolly Roger is Captain Luffy, Monkey D. Luffy. My man, my hero, my captain, he is Monkey D. Luffy. So One Piece. He definitely is the one that changed me to get posters, shoe boxes, taking shoes from Skechers. If Skechers ever wants to sponsor us, I don't mind taking you guys too.
But not the billboard herself, not the Luffy billboard himself. That was for free. And
yeah, that's for free. We got it from Funimation. Thank you very much. But yes, One Piece really changed that for me to get One Piece on content, the movies of them as well, so the game as well. So definitely for me, it broke camel back is One Piece and Your Name and Sword Online Order in the Scale for me as the anime related type of answer.
All right, guys. James, Ray?
Yeah, so mine would be Attack on Titan. So right before I started watching Attack on Titan, I hadn't watched any anime for like 2 years. And then I saw this on Netflix. I was like, you know what? This looks interesting. I'm going to click on it. And it completely rejuvenated my love for anime and stole my soul at the same time because, spoiler alert, Eren's mom gets eaten in the first episode. So that just like broke me. So I love it so much. I bought the poster. I went to Barnes & Noble and I bought literally every volume that was available at that time. I have been completely obsessed with Attack on Titan since. I have the season 1 Blu-rays. I have the season 2 Blu-ray. I have the Armor Titan, the Levi pop behind me.
The one that has ass whip.
Yeah, I am obsessed with Attack on Titan. And I think that's the one where I have the most merch.
And it all started with a mom getting eaten. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I do have a question about that, but I will let Ray and Sam go for, next. And then I have a question for us too.
So Ray? I guess mine has to be Gundam, straight up. I have a lot of Gunpla. I don't display actually, which is weird, and I probably should change that. I need to find a place for them. The first set of like anime, like I've never purchased anime to like have in my house because it's like if I didn't watch it on TV, I streamed it. I just didn't own any. But then one day they were like, "Hey, by the way, there's a G," and this was recently. Like they were like, "Hey, there's a G Gundam Collector's Edition coming out." And I was like, are you kidding me? That's like one of my all-time literally favorite anime, you know, from my childhood. And I'm like, I have to own that. So that was the first one where I was like, I'm going to throw down some big money for this anime that I really, it was full collected. I was like, I want this. And I'm so glad that I bought it. And that kind of broke the camel's back because then I started buying other stuff. You know, we went and saw Two Heroes. I went and bought the Two Heroes movie. We went and saw Broly. I went and bought the Broly movie. You know, so like now I've kind of like broken the seal and I'm just buying the stuff that I like. And now I have figures. I have a Zeno Goku figure. And it's like now it's just, it's all downhill from here.
Pretty much.
So Gundam basically broke the floodgates.
Okay, for me, it was, I think the first thing I bought was the Ken Kaneki figure. You can see it from the back from right there. I mean, I really like Tokyo Ghoul. The story was actually really great. I've followed the manga, I've read the continuation for it. I just didn't really like the anime too much because they kind of rushed it and made it like not too great.
The last episode of the anime is bullshit.
It was just stupid. No, like that's the reason why I didn't finish the anime in general. I'll keep my special memory of the manga to my like I'll have that, keep that kind of passion for myself. And like I really like Tokyo Ghoul, and I thank Miguel again for giving me the collection edition for the first entire Tokyo Ghoul season.
What a nice young man.
Yes,
thank
he is.
Thank you.
But yeah, I love Tokyo Ghoul. It's really cool. I kind of into that kind of like anime series, like manga series, that sort of way. And I think the next thing that helped broke me was Wolf Children, the movie. I bought that DVD and like, cause I really like Wolf Children. And I was like, this director is really good. Let me check out the others. And it's the same director who did Mirai, Boy and the Beast, The Girl Who Leaped Through Time, And yeah, it was a great director, and like, damn, I need to like start buying his collector's edition or something. But when you're broke, you can't buy anything. And I would love to.
I feel that.
it'll ever forever be in your wish list, but never be in your cart.
I feel you every day when I don't want to buy a One Piece manga or omnibus. So sad, a bit. My heart's want to cry sometimes.
But yeah, like we've all felt that moment where like we can't afford it yet. Like we're not able to spend a couple hundred dollars on a collection set or limited edition stuff or everything that way. So I guess once we start making it up there and big and making that big money, we know we're going to have a whole man cave full of collection editions that what we love to see. But that's the dream, to have a man cave.
But I do want to ask a question to you guys and to the audience there. What's the point, just asking out of curiosity, what's the point to buy a season of, like, for you, James, you bought the Attack on Titan season Blu-ray, right? Mm-hmm. But if we could watch that on streaming, Crunchyroll, Verve, Funimation, what is the extra reason to buy the season itself? Like, I get the movie of two heroes, Brawley, I get that. But what's the point to buy the season of the Titan season 1, 2, and 3?
So I have the perfect answer for you. So the video quality, it doesn't get better than Blu-ray. You will never get the same quality streaming, period.
Right.
And you also don't get 5.1 audio on streaming.
True.
I can get that on the Blu-ray. So I have a 5.1 system here at our place. So having the Blu-ray gives me the better video quality and surround sound while I'm watching the anime. That's why I buy the Blu-rays.
Okay.
Good answer. Okay. To buy the product over than to just stream it, I guess when you just stream it, either beforehand you don't know the hype about and just want to just watch it first and
good see point.
If that's what's gonna hook you in or that's what you really like. And if it does really hook you in, that might want you to buy the DVD itself, where you get a better quality, better colored, better sound, better everything else, and makes you want to rewatch it. And it's like, wow, it's so much better than I thought, and I'm so glad I bought it. Now I can watch it anytime I want. Because with streaming and server, they're all run by servers. And if something happens to those servers, you can't watch them anymore.
Yep.
You bring a good point. So yeah. All right. Just a curiosity question. I just wanted to know, because I've always wondered that and I've never found a good answer, but you guys do make a good point. So maybe I'll consider that to buy more of my own Blu-rays of seasons I want to watch and keep them for myself. Maybe I will consider that more in the future.
They are really expensive. That's the only thing I will say. Buying seasons of anime is really expensive. Like Attack on Titan season 1 cost me like $65. Season two was like $50. My Hero Academia season 1 was like $45. So they are really expensive. I only buy the Blu-rays of my favorites.
Why is that more expensive than a regular movie Blu-ray? Damn.
I mean, you know, all the weird localization stuff and all those different types of fees and voice actors and translations and
Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood cost me like $80.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, like the entire like seasons, all 4 seasons was like $80. Wow.
But I own it, and whenever they take it off of streaming because of licensing, I still have it.
Yeah,
because that's very true.
They took it off of Crunchyroll like a year ago, and then the Blu-ray wasn't being sold in stores anymore. So if you didn't already own it, you couldn't watch Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
On Netflix.
They brought it back now. But there was a point where it wasn't available for streaming anywhere.
True, good point.
Okay, that's very true. Ray, any thoughts?
No, I'm 100% agreement with James. It's like, you know, I buy the ones that I like because then I own them. I don't have to worry about them not existing in some streaming service. And plus, G Gundam, that licensing is still weird. And so the only way to purchase it was through this collection. Literally the only way to watch G Gundam is to own this collection, which I own now, which is insane. If you really like something, buy it, because you never know if you'll actually be able to watch it outside of when it's offered for the first time. Because I don't even know if you can still buy this collection online. which is weird.
Probably not.
And that's even more, that makes it more even valuable. Even that's open or it's been watched before and all that other stuff, it's even more valuable because you can't find it anywhere else.
So now I'm just looking for a Zoids Zero Collector's Edition. If you guys are listening, I would love to buy a Zoids Zero, just so you know. Not the other stuff, just Zoids Zero.
That's it. we'll keep it quiet from your wallet.
I'll pay the price for that. That's also what I really like that too. So Hajime No Ippo Collected Edition would be far too expensive, so I'm not even going to dream about that. Wow.
That's, you have to wait too many series, too many chapters for that series.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to have to end it here. Guys, follow and support on our Facebook, Twitch, and Patreon at Anime Lately, and follow our other social media platforms like Twitter and Instagram at AnimeLately_. James, could you please give us your plugs?
Yeah, so right now you can listen to the Careful for Spoilers Avengers Endgame review. We literally break down the film scene by scene, and I think it's one of our best episodes yet. So head on over to Careful for Spoilers on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts, and check it out.
Ray Apollo or Ray Pollo?
Stop it. Yes, Ray Apollo, that's me. Hey, I stream on Twitch most of the week, except for Sunday. If you like video games, you like to watch people play video games on the internet, you know, have a little background noise of your work, doing some stuff around the house, hey, come tune in. RayApollo.twitch.tv. Wait, no, twitch.tv/RayApollo. That's how that works. Come watch us play games. We have a good time. Ask about the Crab Rave.
Definitely. Yep. Ask for Crab Rave. Put some bits on it.
It's genuinely my favorite thing.
Nail stripper. Right. Sorry.
Professional. I can't get the song out of my head.
Sorry. Professional nail stripper entertainment.
Wow. No, there's nobody. No, there are no strippers here. None.
Oh, yeah. So, guys, follow me on Twitter at LegendDVash, NIG, Twitter, everywhere else. So, subscribe to us if you listen to us on YouTube here. Thank you very much. If you listen to us on Podbean and iTunes, you know, subscribe, follow us, give us a comment, like, give us a good review. 5 out of 5. We're perfect. Thank you very much for listening. We're the best podcast out there on the anime lady and anime industry out there. Thank you very much. We're the best and only best.
And guys, you can follow me at Sam the Mega Man, Instagram and Twitter, Facebook, wherever you need to sign me. Thank you guys. Have a good day. Peace.